Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Today is Monday, August 24th. What to know today about dual hurricane threats? Which states could face two severe storms within just 3 days? Also, the newest FDA-authorized treatment for COVID-19. And it's now time for the Republican National Convention. What to expect as the event kicks off tonight. Plus, TikTok takes Trump to court. It's Kobe Bryant Day in LA. And an update on a miracle panda pregnancy. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Two powerful storms are headed toward the U.S. Gulf Coast, and they could bring dangerous flooding and strong winds to Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. First comes Tropical Storm Marco. It was downgraded from a hurricane last night, but the federal government still considers it life-threatening. That one is expected to make landfall in Louisiana as soon as today, so hurricane and storm surge warnings were issued in parts of the state. Then Tropical Storm Laura is on track to hit the same spot either late Wednesday or early Thursday, potentially as a hurricane. Thousands of people in Louisiana have already evacuated ahead of Marco, and FEMA has sent crews into the area to help. But meteorologists with the National Weather Service say the second one, Laura, is a much bigger storm and will likely be the stronger storm. It could end up being a Category 3 hurricane, which means winds could reach 111 miles an hour. Already, Laura swept through the Caribbean. At least 10 people died in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And in Puerto Rico, FEMA says about 32,000 power customers are without electricity. Nearly 14,000 don't have water. President Trump granted an emergency declaration for the island, meaning resources will be freed up to help. The wildfires burning in California's Bay Area are now the second and third largest fires in state history. They've burned more than 500 square miles each one burning what compares to the size of Los Angeles. Firefighters made good progress on them over the weekend, but both are expected to grow in the coming days. One of those big fires was started by lightning strikes last week. It's the second largest but most destructive fire burning right now, responsible for at least 5 deaths. It also destroyed more than 800 homes and other buildings. Tens of thousands of people have evacuated. The National Guard and U.S. military are already in the Golden State helping out, and the governor says a recent disaster declaration will help people affected with crisis counseling, housing, and other social services. The FDA gave emergency authorization to a new tool for U.S. doctors to fight COVID-19. It's called convalescent plasma. We've talked about this before. The idea is blood plasma can be taken from COVID-19 survivors and given to sick patients. And it could help, since survivors have built up antibodies to fight off an infection. But the FDA still says more clinical trials are necessary to know if it's truly effective before it'll get full approval. For now, it got the green light for use because it was determined safe and it also might work. Right now, there is only one COVID-19 treatment that has the FDA's approval, and that's remdesivir. For the second time in 4 days, the new Postmaster General will be questioned on Capitol Hill about service cutbacks and mail-in voting. First, Louis DeJoy testified in front of senators on Friday. Republicans had said they wanted to give him a chance to explain the Postal Service's financial situation and why he's choosing to make cuts. While some cuts are already in place, DeJoy promised the USPS is, quote, fully capable and committed to delivering the nation's election mail securely and on time. And he'll hold off on making more changes until after the election. He's expected to tell House lawmakers something similar today. But Democrats say they want a new law in place to make sure. So the Democratic-led House came back from their recess early and passed a bill over the weekend that would give the Postal Service another $25 billion in funding and block any changes to services until at least next year. Democrats say this bill could be the solution if the Postmaster General is really just worried about money and not mail-in voting. But Senate leaders don't expect the measure to make it through the Republican-led Senate, arguing that it's a piecemeal bill that ignores the other urgent needs of the American people. So at this point, the legislation is not expected to become law. To be continued. The Republican National Convention starts today. The RNC's theme is Honoring the Great American Story. Today, speakers include several Republican members of Congress, and besides politicians, Americans will hear from a man whose daughter was killed in the 2018 high school shooting in Parkland, Florida, a St. Louis couple who got national attention for pointing guns at protesters over the summer, and President Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr. And that's just night one. Overall, the RNC will last 4 nights, and just like the DNC last week, it will end with a big acceptance speech from the party's presidential candidate. President Trump will formally accept the re-nomination Thursday night from the White House. By the way, Trump is also about to say goodbye to one of his top advisors. Kellyanne Conway just announced she's leaving the White House at the end of August. She says she wants to focus more on family and, quote, be less drama, more mama. Conway has been a close advisor to President Trump since his 2016 campaign. She was the first woman to manage a successful presidential campaign and has since been one of Trump's most outspoken defenders. Conway's husband happens to be a very outspoken Trump critic. George Conway runs a group of anti-Trump Republicans called the Lincoln Project, but last night he also announced that he would be stepping down for similar reasons to devote more time to family. All right, we have more news coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, Native. I believe reading labels is key. I do it with everything in order to make informed decisions, from the food I buy to the personal care products I use. And that's part of why I love my deodorant from Native. Native has ingredients you've actually heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter, and it's aluminum-free. Native never uses ingredients like aluminum, parabens, sulfates, or talc. And you don't have to sacrifice on odor protection either. Native keeps you smelling and feeling so fresh. I love every scent of Native deodorant I've tried, from coconut and vanilla to lavender and rose. And get this, Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping in the U.S., plus free 30-day returns and exchanges. So do what I did and make the switch to Native by going to nativedeo.com/newsworthy or use the promo code newsworthy at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo, nativedeo.com/newsworthy or use promo code newsworthy at checkout for 20% off your first order. Now back to the news. TikTok is now planning to sue the Trump administration, and it could file a lawsuit as soon as today. The video sharing app has not surprisingly taken issue with President Trump's recent executive order. Remember, the president has basically given the app's Chinese parent company called ByteDance an ultimatum: find an American buyer or get banned in the U.S. And Trump continues to say TikTok could be a national security threat. Well, ByteDance told CNBC over the weekend there's no threat and the company has tried to work with the U.S. government on a solution, but it hasn't panned out. So they say court is the next option. It's worth noting TikTok says this will not affect negotiations with Microsoft and Oracle to possibly sell. Those talks are apparently still in the works. So far, no comment from the White House on the possible legal action. Today is Kobe Bryant Day in Los Angeles. Already, tributes are rolling in both online and on the streets of L.A. Kobe Bryant Day was actually in place even before the basketball star's death. The city started honoring him just after his retirement back in 2016 for his accomplishments on the court and for his philanthropy work in the community. LA chose August 24th to commemorate Bryant's two jersey numbers, 8 and 24, which he wore during his 20-year career with the Lakers. Of course, this year will be especially significant since 7 months ago, the NBA icon, his 13-year-old daughter, and 7 friends were killed in a helicopter crash. And since then, hundreds of Kobe-themed murals have popped up in Southern California. So the LA Times says we can expect many people to be visiting them today. Nike is also doing something special. It's going to offer 5 new versions of the signature Kobe Bryant sneaker and a reissued basketball jersey, which was designed in part by Kobe himself. Nike also donated $1 million to Bryant's foundation, which works to empower underserved communities throughout youth sports. By the way, today is also one day after Bryant's birthday. He would have been 42. K-pop group BTS is making history. This time it's thanks to the Korean boy band's new music video for the song Dynamite. It racked up more than 101 million views in its first 24 hours online. And YouTube told Variety, that's a record. At one point, the video had more than 3 million people watching it at the same time. And in Gadget reports, that's another record. Dynamite is going to be on BTS's next album, which comes out later this year, but the band wanted to put this single out early, specifically for the pandemic era. The group says people around the world are going through tough times, so they want to share some positive energy with fans. Animal lovers are celebrating a big announcement from the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. A giant panda named Mei Xiang gave birth to a healthy cub over the weekend. And her mom instincts kicked right in, which is unusual for a panda. Right away, she started nursing and cuddling with her tiny, hairless, blind cub. This is the fourth time she's given birth, and this one was considered a miracle since the panda's age gave her less than 1% chance of having another cub. But her other cubs were sent back to China for a program meant to reintroduce pandas to their natural habitats. Panda fans can keep an eye on Mei Xiang and her new baby through the zoo's Panda Cam. We have a link to it in today's show notes. And that's it for your 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Money Monday, where we bring you one interesting money-related news story. And today we're talking about how back-to-school shopping season is different this year than usual. As the AP explains it, most parents are not getting their kids the usual items like new clothing and backpacks, but they're reportedly buying up a lot of electronics, like laptops and headphones, which of course can cost a lot more. The National Retail Federation predicts families with children in grades K through 12 will spend a total of $34 billion on school supplies this year. That's $8 billion more than last year. Though there is different data out there. For example, Deloitte's annual back-to-school survey agreed that spending is shifting toward more digital products, but found the amount of spending for school will actually stay the same as last year. And yet another research firm found spending will actually go down about 6.5% this year as parents face an uncertain school year. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.